Welcome back to Cognac and Conspiracies. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jade.
Alrighty. And we are back for another week. Did I tell you? I know I told you, but I don't know if I said it on here that we started a new season.
You told me.
Yeah. I told you, but I'm like, did I say it on the mic though?
I'm pretty sure you said it.
I don't remember. I don't even remember.
What's a new season?
Okay. Yeah, it's a new season. I'm about to say, our conversations be running together. I see you too much. But yeah, so this is season 3, started in the new year. I feel like we do like a season a year. So we took a break, came back, season 3. Hope you guys are liking it so far. But I will hop right into it. It is my week and I have another serial killer one for you.
Ooh.
I really like this one. That sounds more... But it was maddening. Like when you hit, like, yeah. It was like, I was like, what the fuck? Okay. So let's get into it.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Anthony Kirkland?
No, I feel like Kirkland sounds familiar because that's what the Costco brand is. He the heir to the Costco fortune?
I love a good Kirkland. No, but it's not even Kirkland like the Costco joint. It's Kirkland, L-A-N-D, which is not the Costco. Theirs is different. It's like L-E-N or something. Or L-A-N. Oh, it's L-A-N, but there's no D.
I thought it was Land, Kirkland.
Let's see.
What is that called when it's like a Mandela thing when everybody...
Oh, it is!
Yeah, agree, tripping.
You're right. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Well, he wasn't heir to the Costco fortune. Far from it. So we don't have a lot of like information about his early life. But what we do know about Anthony Kirkland is that he was born September 13th in 1968. From what I gathered, he just grew up in a home with his mother. I wasn't able to find anything about the father. And according to his... A lot of this stuff is according to him. He said that when he was growing up, he experienced physical and mental abuse as a child.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing to, like, corroborate that. And also, that was only brought up, like, during his trial. So, I would go so far as to say that maybe that's not true. And that was just trying to get some sympathy.
So, it's, like, undocumented.
It's undocumented. Something. That's just him saying it. So we'll start in 1987. So on May 20th in 1987, Anthony was dating a woman by the name of Leola Douglas. And apparently him and Leola, this is not his first like time at the rodeo, but this is, I think, the first like major crime that he committed. So he was dating a woman by the name of Leola Douglas. And after she didn't want to have sex with him, they got into like this whole fight. He tried to rape her, essentially. Some accounts said that she was actually living at her grandfather's house. It doesn't matter. They were living somewhere together. She didn't want to have sex. This made him fly into a rage. So he then proceeded to strangle her. And after he strangled her, he then set her body on fire. In like
alive?
I don't know if she was conscious, but she was alive. Yes. That's according to the autopsy.
Fire alive.
Yes, according to the autopsy, she was conscious when he, or she was alive. Yeah. I don't know about conscious because he strangled her first.
That's what I'm saying.
I think he probably thought he killed her.
Yeah.
But when he lit her on fire, she wasn't dead.
I don't know if he thought she was dead. I don't know. Serial killers are wild. Like, I don't know. You know, serial killers like have like weird little like kinks about them. Maybe he did. Like, I don't know. She was alive. But yo, that's like how you were saying earlier. Like, oh, this episode like, it's interesting, but it's, you know, it's weird saying that serial killers are interesting because you don't want to like give them that.
Mm-hmm.
But that is very interesting. Like, I feel like I hate that I like the details of it,
mm-hmm.
because I hate to like, I don't know, like it's not glamorizing. I don't know, right? Finding it as entertainment, but that is very interesting.
Girl, it gets more interesting, right? So this man literally set her body on fire and left the body on like the front steps. Like, there was just a burning body right there at the house.
Wait. The body's burnt up, or he...
Yeah, I mean, I guess the fire, like, fires go out of... But yes, he left a burnt...
So he lit her on fire, waited for the fire, like...
Well, he just left. He just fucking left. He just stepped off and left it there. Yes. Yes. This nigga's crazy as hell. And when the police or the fire people got there, then it was just there. And that was just that. Your face like that.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wait. wait. So he strangled her. He put her outside first and set her on fire?
I wasn't able to gather that. I mean, I think
I'm assuming he set the body on fire outside. Yeah, because how would you carry a burning body outside?
Yeah, no. My assumption was that he probably just, like, put her out, like, was beating her up throughout. And he went and he did this with lighter fluid. We do know that. So he went in the house, got some lighter fluid, doused her in the lighter fluid, I'm assuming on the front steps or something, and set the body on fire. And then just left. Yes. You're looking at me crazy, but I swear to fucking God. Google it. He did this shit.
It's just so wild. Yes. And then left?
He just left.
He set the money on fire and then left.
Just stepped off. But, obviously, so keep in mind, this is 1987. Mm-hmm. And he actually did end up doing 16 years in prison for this.
Yes, they caught him.
Yeah, they caught him. But here's the thing. He got a plea deal. That's why I said this is, like, so maddening. I'm like, how is this allowed to happen? He got a plea deal and pled guilty. Mind you, this woman died. He pled guilty to voluntary manslaughter instead of, like, first degree murder. And his prison sentence was, I think, 7 to 25 years. Mm-hmm. He got out in 16 years and he was free to go. I don't know how you get manslaughter from strangling someone and lighting them on fire. How?
So what's the difference? Like, manslaughter is, like, unintentional or something?
Yes. Manslaughter, from what I've gathered, is... I have a definition. It says that it's a legal term for homicide considered by law as less culpable than murder. So the difference is that, basically, like you said, there's voluntary manslaughter, there's involuntary manslaughter. But from what I gather, manslaughter just kind of means that you didn't mean to do it. Or that you... It wasn't, like, intentional.
That's interesting.
You know, like, when somebody hits something, like, when somebody is drunk driving and they hit someone, it's like manslaughter. Like, you didn't mean, you still need to go to jail, but your intent was not murder.
It's
you
not just, premeditated? Is that the...
But first degree murder doesn't even have to be premeditated.
I know one of them is, like, it has to be premeditated.
Oh, maybe first does and second doesn't. Because I think second degree murder doesn't have... Regardless, how the fuck did this nigga get off so easy for lighting someone on fire and leaving their body?
Whoever his lawyer is. Because I feel like it's like, I guess you could, like, I don't even know how you plead it, right? Mm-hmm. I guess he slipped on the fluid and then slipped on a lighter.
Right. I'm like, you.
What? I don't know how. Right. Hold on.
I slipped and lit the match.
Right. You nicked it. I don't even. Like,
what the fuck?
The body just happened to be out there.
That's crazy. Because I'm like. And,
or was it a. Like, you know how people get plea deals? I've watched a lot of Power lately.
It was a plea deal. Yeah, it was a plea deal. Maybe, so he pled guilty to a lesser charge. He pled guilty.
No, but that happens though. Yeah. So that actually is like. So that is shocking. Yeah. But like I said, Power is not a nonfiction show. But like Power and other, you know, actual real things I watch, you'll be surprised what the plea deal is. So when you say, now that I'm like listening, like that doesn't really shock me though. I don't know why they make those type of deals. I guess when they're like desperate to actually get the killer or whatever, they make those deals. Mm-hmm. But that's wild.
Yeah. It is it's interesting. I don't know. Like I said, I guess I shouldn't be surprised at this point, but it just, and they said that his, like, the prosecutors literally wrote letters. I mean, they said his maximum sentence was 25 years, but like I said, he got out early. But the prosecutors literally wrote like letters to say, like, do not let this man out early, like, because what he did was so gruesome. Mm-hmm. And so just like crazy, like, you don't need to let this man out. And they let him out. I guess he had good behavior. They say he went to school in jail and the whole nine. But we're about to get into it, but I feel like that was just a plea to, like,
oh yeah, that's what they all
get. Yeah, they all do
Jesus and all types of stuff.
Yeah, so he was released and he was paroled in 2004, where he then ended up going to a halfway house, I guess, you know, to get on his feet. And he's been in prison for 16 years. So that's when a lot of the other things start up again. He had a lot of run-ins with the law. He actually got a charge for showing his penis to, like, a 13-year-old girl. And for that, he only got, I think they said 150 days, a few months in prison. He got a few months in prison for that. He was arrested with a standoff with police with his son's mother. So basically what happened was they got into it. and he took his son, who was 18 months old at the time, and held some type of like fork or some sharp
to the baby's neck
and threatened to kill the baby if they didn't, I guess, leave him alone. But he had a whole full standoff with the police with this baby, and then eventually he just, I guess, gave up. Like, he realized, I guess, this isn't gonna work, so he put the baby down and they arrested him. And they even said when they were taking him to jail, he just was like, I don't care. Like, he took a nap in the police car
because he's been in jail so many times.
That's what he said. He was like, I've been in jail.
I mean, I feel like it's nothing, right? So you got off for murder, you got off for basically assaulting a little girl, so mm-hmm. I feel like, why would you think you're not gonna get off again?
Yeah.
And I feel like I always get in my soapbox, but I feel like the problem is, like, none of these things, like I said, how he got out early for, I don't know, getting education and whatever, like feeling remorseful, but none of those things is actually rehabilitation.
No.
So I feel like good behavior and getting a GED, those are great things to accomplish, but at the same time, none of that is rehabilitation. Like, none of that tells me that he's no longer a murderer and a danger to society. Like, same thing, like serving 100 days in jail for showing a minor your penis, none of that sounds like rehabilitation. Like, none of that sounds like, oh well, he did his time to re-release him. Like, sitting in a cell and feeling guilty about what's happened, that does not sound like rehabilitation to me. So I feel like he feels like, I'll get out, and he knows that's what's going to happen.
But, and the thing is, I don't even think, I know for a fact, he doesn't feel guilty at all. He doesn't feel guilty. He might be mad he got caught.
Yeah.
Or, I don't even think he's mad he got caught. Well, I think he's guilty.
It seems like he literally always gets caught. Yes. So I feel like getting caught is just part of the, he knows, I commit crimes, I get caught, I get back out, and I do it again.
Yeah.
And at this point, now that he has like a whole paper trail, I feel like there shouldn't be any type of early release schedule or anything like that, because he's literally gonna go back out and be a danger to society.
And I just feel like I get so shocked, because I'm like, this man showed a little girl his penis, and you gave him a few months. Okay, actually, no, not even. Because I was about to say, maybe if he didn't have a prior record. But I don't care if you have a prior record. If you show a 13-year-old girl your penis, you need to be locked away somewhere.
Yeah.
You're fucking weird. I think, like, but compound that with the fact that this man literally killed a woman and set her on fire. Y'all not going to look at the prior shit?
Like, this is all fine. They're like, he needs to be in society. Like, I feel like it's just like, like, so the whole thing about showing the minor, like, his penis is, like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I should know more about the law, but I feel like it's also, I guess, like, he could get off on that because, like, did he have intent to have sex with a girl, like, with a minor and things like that? So I feel like, I don't really know, like, again, like, how punishable it really is to just show a minor, like, your genitals.
I think it should be more punishable, but yeah, I think the charge was something like indecency. Or something like that. And then with his son, he got a charge for that was something of like endangering a child. Yeah, something like that, some little slap on the wrist type shit. So basically, he keeps doing these things, keeps getting out. After he got out, he also so he's in the halfway house, right? I was like, so many people dropped the ball. He got into an argument with someone in the halfway house, and this was after, like, he was required to register as a sex offender and all that stuff, right? So he got in an argument with someone at the halfway house. They got into it. He was put out of the halfway house. I guess they deemed that it was like his fault. But here's the thing, when you're a sex offender or you have certain stipulations against you, you're supposed to let your parole officer know where you're living, what you're doing, and all of that stuff. But he didn't. And I saw one article, it's not funny, but it's funny, that was like that they had no idea where he was, because when it happened, it was the weekend. And the parole officer was just basically like, girl, I'm a happy hour, don't call me. What? They were like, so they didn't find out. So he's like going days, and they had no idea that he had even gotten put out of the halfway house. Like, the police were calling and everything, and his parole officer and everybody had no idea that he was no longer living there until, like, I guess the next Tuesday when they when they got to work and she opened her emails and was like, oh shit,
I feel that. Yeah. It's not right, but she was on the clock, man.
She was like, baby, I'm not even here, I'm a hallucination. But during this time, he basically just starts going rogue. He also went to trial for raping his neighbor. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this whole thing is maddening. I'm like, bro, this nigga has done so much shit, and he's still out here walking around. Like, what the hell? So he basically went into his neighbor's house, and apparently they were like not friends, but you know, neighborly. Like he had dinner at their house and things like that before. So he just broke into her house, opened the door with like a knife, held a knife to her throat, and raped her. And he went to trial for this as well, and he actually got off. Like he was not found guilty of this, even though the jury and everybody had like literal like photos of her bruised and, you know, basically fucked up. He fucked her up, he beat her up and raped her. And his story was that, and we know this is a lie, she was telling the truth. Clearly, look at this man's track record. But she said, I mean, he said that the sex was consensual, and the only reason that she was saying that is because she didn't want her husband to find out.
Boo, tomato.
He also broke into another person's house and stabbed him 10 times with scissors. 10 times with scissors. You know how dull scissors are? You know how mad you gotta be to stab someone 10 times with some scissors? This man lived. He didn't end up dying. So, lesser charge, not murder.
Why is he out in... I mean, obviously he shouldn't be out.
This man's a fucking menace. He's a menace to society, literally.
If anything, let this be a poster child for how we need to reform our prison system. Because the fact that he's been there like 11,000 times and nothing has changed. Like, he's still the same person that went in what, 1983 or whatever year it was. And he came out the same and been coming out the same. So
1987. Close enough.
Well, you would think.
Yeah. So, look, we've been talking about this man's crimes. We did talk about one murder. We're just now getting into the murders.
That's what I thought. Because like, that doesn't make him a serial killer. Because I was like, yeah, none of that actually makes him a serial killer.
That's not it. Mm. We're getting into the killing now. I just had to give you a whole background on this man's literal receipt of crime. Like, yeah. It's insane. Okay. So, on May 4th, 2006. So, he's out now. He was paroled in 2004. Yeah, that's your birthday. She was murdered. So.
Kill, no. Sorry, no.
So yes, on May 4th, 2006, Cassandra Crawford ran into Anthony Kirtland after she was a 14-year-old girl, and she actually snuck out of her home to like go, I don't fucking know, like hang out with her friends or whatever.
Oh, okay, that's hang out with him. Okay.
No, she didn't know him. No, she was sneaking out to go do teenage shit, and she was staying with her grandmother at the time. And her grandmother did say that she had snuck out before, which kids do sometimes, you know. But the only difference was, she was like, you know, she faked me out. She put on her pajamas, got in the bed. Then she snuck out. But the difference was, she was like, what? She didn't come back. So at some time during the night, as she's like going about her sneaking business, she runs into him, like on the street. And she said that he started talking to her and offered her $20 for sex. This is a 14-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. And I'll show you in a minute, but she looks like a 14-year-old girl. He knew what he was doing. He's a pedophile. So he said, I offer her $20 for sex. She said, no, obviously. And then he was just like, okay, fuck it. I'll give you $60 for sex. And she still said no. But that made him really mad. So that's when he turned and he attacked her. And basically grabbed her, you know, tried to snatch her. And he said she did fight back. She basically like kneed him in the groin. But once he kind of got his wits about him, like I said, this is a small girl. So once he chased her down and then proceeded to strangle her. So he did that and then he burned her body as well. He has an MO. And just kind of threw the body in the woods, burned it in the woods. Why are you making that face?
Because how old is he by now?
This man has to be in his 50s. So let's do the math.
2006, yeah, he'd be like.
Let's do the math. What's 2006 minus 1968? You're the math person.
What is? Hold on. Was born 1968.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I'm wrong. Is that right?
2006 minus 1968.
You said 1968?
Yeah, he will be 38 at this time.
Dude, am I just...
I'm like, huh?
Yo, millennials? I'm like, wait, that does that make sense? Wait, how old?
It doesn't, because I'm like, he was in jail for...
Are we just, like, weird? I think that's right.
I thought he would have been a lot older.
Me too.
Ooh. If we're wrong, don't judge us.
I'm not a math person. We're wrong.
Is
that not how math works?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I mean, it's the math.
I'm actually pretty sure, okay? Yeah. I do the maths. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's right.
But I just thought he would be older.
So that's my thing, too. I think I'm shocked because I think the number of crimes and the time he would have... Because now I'm like, what? Because the time he would have served in jail...
So when
I think something's wrong.
No, because I just did the math. When he murdered his girlfriend Leola Douglas, he would have been like 19 or 20.
Okay, so that's not the problem, because I was thinking that he would be a lot older when he committed that crime. So I was thinking he was like 30 when he went away from jail for that. Mm-mm. Okay, because I thought the same thing, that he was like 50 some years old at this point.
Yeah.
So that makes it even crazier.
Yeah.
Because the craziest thing is that he did this at 19, and I think that, again, I feel like you can rehabilitate people. I feel like if we did have a rehabilitation system, then he really would have had a chance at a decent life, because he went to jail at 19 years old.
Yeah.
So that's a damn shame. That's a damn shame.
Yeah. So that adds up. So if he went to jail at 19 or 20, 16 years, that's 2 years after he got out, that would be 38. He would be 36 when he got out.
And that's why I feel like, so that makes a lot more sense, right? Because I feel like the 14-year-old girl, I feel like if a 50-some-year-old man approaches you, you're going to keep it pushing. But at 38, you can still look kind of young, look like someone's dad. Like, it's a familiar face. And maybe she was like, oh, I'll just say hi. I'll engage in this conversation. Because I feel like if he did look like 57, 65, she probably would have kept it pushing.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes sense why she would engage, because he probably looked, you know, like a familiar adult, like a trustworthy adult to talk to.
Yeah, but she did, like... Not like she, like I said, she fought back against him. I think that she probably did. Like, he probably said, "How you doing?" She said, "Good." You know,
exactly.
But once he said, "Oh, can you have sex with me for $20?" That's when she was like, "What the fuck?" Like,
yeah.
Nah, you're weird as hell. So yes, that's the first murder, and nobody finds his body, right? So we're not aware of this, or the police are not aware of this. On June 14th, he then met a woman named Mary Jo Newton, and she actually was, I feel like he has no rhyme or reason to his victims, like he'll murder anybody. So she was 45 years old, actually, so she's a grown woman. And he said that they were actually friends. From what I gathered, I would say maybe they were on a date, or he was interested in her, or made it her think that he was interested, which would have been easier because she's, you know, a grown woman. So it was unclear, but he said that they were in his van together. So what I'm gathering from that is that they were like on a date.
Okay.
Is that weird?
No.
Is that a weird assumption to make? Okay. I'm thinking that they were on a date. So he said he picked her up, he talked to her. She got in the van with him. You know, they're hanging out, and then he tried to have sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not want to have sex. And in true him fashion, as he always does, that makes him very angry. So he got angry. And he said he actually really didn't even mean to kill her. Like, that wasn't even his intention. But he stabbed her in the neck. So this one he didn't strangle. What he did was he stabbed her in the neck. And then he admitted to police that he sat there and just watched her
bleed out.
Bleed. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's a serial killer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like, I didn't get to the killings yet. So yeah,
that's a lot.
Yes. And so this body, he also, as you can guess, where a pattern now, burned in the woods.
Oh, I knew that was gonna, you didn't tell me that.
Yes. So and wait till I get to why he said he was burning the bodies. I was like, nigga, shut the hell up. But I won't even do that.
Oh, I want to know. When you get to it, I'd like to know.
Let's get to the next. So next victim was Kimya Rollison. Same type of deal. He ended up strangling her, you know, solicited her basically for sex, ended up strangling her, burned her body in the woods. And then he was finally in the... So here's the thing. While he's committing these murders, they actually did find the body of Kasanya and the body of Mary Jo. But they didn't have any evidence against him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but because he has this previous charge of
burning
yeah. women, they did look at him and did bring him in for questioning, as you would. But they didn't have any type of evidence or anything that they could hold him. But they did suspect him, because it's not a lot of men running around Cincinnati, strangling people and burning them up.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, like, bodies start to pile up. Like, burned bodies of women start to pile up. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty quick link.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can suspect all you want to, but if there's no face, no case.
Yeah.
If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. So, they basically let him go home, and one of the bodies actually was found. I'm pretty sure this was Mary Jo, and I'm like, ugh, this is so disgusting. A dog, like a family was walking with their dog, like just taking a hike in the woods, and the dog brought back a human femur bone to them. The way I would have swiftly vomited in those woods, what the fuck?
That's what so the fuck? Wild.
That's some shit Major would have done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually crazy. I guess I don't know how you would. I guess, like, maybe I'm just a dumb. I don't know if I'd be like, oh, this is a human bone. Like, how would you know it's a human bone? I'd be like, oh, this is like a deer or something.
But
I guess because I have flesh on it, maybe. But I don't know.
No, because he burned it. This was like a year. A femur is like your thigh. Like your thigh bone up here. It's big.
I thought it's a deer bone. I also don't come across bones. I mean, I don't just, like, come across them.
I don't know.
You think you would know? You'd be like, oh, this is
Yeah.
A human. I would know. Yes, I don't just come across bones.
Like, I've never seen a human femur bone with no skin on it. But I do feel... You want me to show you?
Yeah, show me, please.
All right. Not one of the first things being deer. Look. Here. It's like in your thigh. It's a big ass bone.
Yeah.
You don't think so? Because that doesn't even look like a deer.
No. I'm saying if I found a whole bone somewhere, yeah. I don't know if my first assumption to me. I don't know if my first assumption would be like, oh, it's a human bone. But I guess, like, it should be.
I don't know. But the family called the police. I'm sure they said, drop it! And then they called the police. They called the police, and then of course the police searching that area, that's when they discovered the body. Mm-hmm. So then that's the second body they found. They're bringing them in for questioning and things like that. I'm like, oh my god, if my dog ever brought me back a fucking human leg bone, disgusting. My dog one time bought a fucking beetle and I damn near had a heart attack.
A beetle. Yeah, that really compared.
And a cicada.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying if I freaked out because he had a cicada in his mouth, I can only imagine the type of freak out I would have if this fucking dog bought me a human leg bone.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? So, yes, that's how they found out. And then finally, at the end of his spree, there is one more victim we have to talk about. And the victim's name is Esme Kinney. She was age 13. She was murdered on March 7th, 2009. And he actually was caught the same day that he committed this murder. I think he just stopped caring. But what happened was Esme was leaving the house to go for a run. I'm like, shout out to you, girl. Get your healthy on. So she was going for a run. And unfortunately, she ran into Anthony Kirkland. He was watching her. And he came out of the woods, I guess maybe like it was a jogging trail or something like that. He came out of the woods, he snatched her up and proceeded to strangle her and, you guessed it, set her body on fire. And the reason that they found out so quickly is because she was just supposed, you know, your child leaves the house. I'm sure she's done this before.
Yeah.
After hours went on and her parents realized that she had not come back, like it doesn't take that long to take a jog. They went out and to look for her, just, you know, around the neighborhood, I guess, assume she was out there. And when they couldn't find her, they called the police. But get this, he stayed like right at the crime scene. Anthony did, like, he was like 100 yards from the body. Uh-huh. When they found him, and he was sleeping like against a tree. Yeah. So basically, he murdered her and then took a nap.
And then walked for like 3 minutes and
sat down. And then
they got him.
And went to sleep. Yeah. So they approached him because obviously we're looking for a missing girl and you're like a random fucking man sleeping on a tree. Like, have you seen this girl type shit? And when they found him, he had her iPod and I think he had her wristwatch or something like that. So obviously at that point, they brought him in. And so that's when they were like, okay, this is like pretty damning evidence. And they found the body, too, a few hours later. Mm-hmm. So all of this stuff is just compounded. So they're like, hey, we know you killed this girl. Mm-hmm. Like, go ahead and admit it. And he did. But what they weren't expecting is that he then started to have, like, diarrhea of the mouth. And started mm-hmm. telling him about all the other women that mm-hmm. he had killed as well. So, it was really weird because one of the detectives was like that it almost seemed like he, and I think so too, it seemed like he wanted to get caught.
Yeah, the fact that he slept by the tree or whatever, I feel like he wanted to, like he might have been, I don't know, exhausted of his murders and he laid down there and was just ready to get caught. Because I feel like it's weird that he went on for so long not getting caught. Because like when you talk about the other crimes, it seemed like he did them and got caught, did them and got caught, did them and got caught. So I don't know if he surprised himself not getting caught by the other ones. But I feel like he was like, it's about time. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah. They didn't even prompt. I mean, they had brought him in, like I said, previously for the other murders, but they'd let him go. Like, he didn't have to admit to those. And one of the prosecutors or one of the detectives said that he was done. Like, he's admitting, you know, to the murder of Esme because he has to, that all the evidence is there. And so he actually was like, I actually was getting up to like leave and being like, okay, cool, I got my confession, I'm going. And he kind of was like, hey, I have a little more to say. Yeah. And the detective's like, huh? He's like, yeah, I got something else to tell you. I know something you don't know. Yeah, so, and he said the detective, it surprised him. He was just like, what the fuck? He was like, it was almost like he really wanted to tell me. Like, really, really bad. And that was just strange to me. So, he admitted to all of those murders, admitting to burning the bodies. And the reason that he said, because they asked him, like, why were you burning bodies all around Ohio? Tell me that. Like, why? Yeah. Why were you doing that? And so he basically said that he was like, oh, he was like, I was trying to give them a proper burial. What are you talking about?
That's why he burns the bodies?
That's what he said. It's on tape. You can look it up on YouTube, y'all. There's a whole like tapes, you know, because they record. There's tapes of him talking about the murders and talking about why he was doing what he's doing or making excuses, explanations, things like that. But yes, he was like, oh yeah, like a proper burial, like a, you know, how Vikings used to do, just like bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's what he says. What the prosecutors think he was doing is, which I would go with this one too, he was destroying evidence.
That's what I think so too. I think, cause I feel like fingerprints and stuff, yeah, like that. I mean, like they, like if you burn them to ashes, like it's gone. So I feel like that, I feel like that's what he was trying to do. As well as there's no body, there's no case. Like, I think, like, people normally stay a missing person until a body is found. Like, people say, like, oh, like, their daughter's missing for 30 years. In reality, like, you know, unfortunately, they probably are dead. But the reality is, they're not really missing, but they haven't found a body yet. Because you can't try someone, you can't do anything until a body is found. Like, you can't, literally, like I said, you can start investigating people and hope they confess. But until somebody confesses or a body's found, you don't have a case. So, I think that's probably what he thought is, like, what is it? No face, no case, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's upsetting because I feel like it's true, you know, like if you don't, when I watch like the true crime, you know, I like true crimes and things like that. A lot of murderers will say, or a lot of people, like you said, who might have a daughter who's missing or a son who's missing or a wife who's missing or things like that. They'll say, even the murderers, because you know, murderers, once they get caught, they be going on Netflix shows and shit and spilling all the damn beans.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, like the easiest way to get away with the murder is if you hide the body really good.
Exactly.
Easiest.
Exactly. So that was the whole like Gabby Petito thing. Like, people were like, oh, Gabby Petito was missing for like a week or 2 weeks. And then
that shit,
I think they found her body first and mm-hmm. then his body. But until there wasn't, and people like knew she had been gone, like she wasn't posting, like the boyfriend was acting funky, he had fled the country. Clearly, like, she is now deceased or something really bad has happened, mm-hmm. but you have to say missing until she's gone. I feel like the minute that the police found the body and there was a real sniff and a trail of that he probably killed her, then he turned up dead. Because I feel like his plan was like the same thing. I feel like he thought, well, they'll never find the body, they'll never find this, so I'll live a free life. But the minute they found the body, he was like, oop, and then he probably killed himself.
He was like, gotta go.
Yeah, I think he eventually did. He like wrote a letter or something they found that he confessed to. Yeah, like I think they found his notebook or a letter or something. Where he did confess to the murder, yeah.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I mean, he didn't have to regardless. We knew he did that.
Yeah, but I guess it gives the family, or I don't know what was in it. Maybe it was an apology. I don't know, but, you know.
Yeah, because they did, like you said, I feel like he was just riding around. He just went back to his parents' house and was like riding around and getting it until, like you said, they found her body, and then he was like, oh shit.
And then he left.
Yeah. Then he killed
And then he too was missing. And then again, when people are missing, the
motherfucker ain't missing. Yeah. Wasn't missing. He went off into the woods to kill himself because he knew he was about to get caught.
Like, please find Brian. Man, I ain't looking for Brian.
Fuck him. Brian's missing. Fuck him. So
the murderer.
But yeah, so he had to eventually admitted to these murders, spilled all the beans, and even showed where a body or two was found. So mm-hmm. he was just like, yep, did it, don't care type shit. He said that, like I said, he said I was giving him a proper burial. That probably wasn't true. He's trying to get rid of the evidence. Anybody with a good half of a brain cell knows that. So on the morning of his trial, he did enter a guilty plea to certain things. So it was to the murder and abuse of a corpse charges. He had a lot of laundry list of charges because mm-hmm. I'm like, you can murder somebody, but you also can't burn them up and scatter them around the woods. So I'm like, I guess that was just something on top of the murder. But murder, abuse of a corpse, and that was related to Mary Jo Newton and Kim Yarolson. Remember, that's the one I said the dog found the femur. So on March 12, 2010, the jury found him guilty on all of his counts, and he's actually sentenced to the death penalty. He's still alive, to my knowledge, at this point, and he's right now he's in jail at the I don't know how to say this, Chillicothe Correctional Institute in Ohio. Chillicothe. Chillicothe.
So it'd be Chillicothe. 54 today.
Chillicothe?
I don't know.
Y'all, I spelled it for y'all. If y'all want to Google it, go ahead. But yes, he's alive and kicking down there at the Correctional Institution in Ohio. And that's where he's currently awaiting his death. What you looking at? Oh, you looking at how old he is now?
Mm-hmm.
He's young. That's 54 is not old.
It's not old at all, but that's a damn shame. Because honestly, like I said, every time we do these cases about serial killers, things like that, like he went to jail at 19. Mm-hmm. And again, not to get myself boxed, but I am somebody who really does believe in rehabilitation. So I do mm-hmm. think that there was a chance for him. And the fact that there were so many opportunities to rehabilitate him in prison, and now that they've let him go on and done all this, and he's now got the only way now is to give him the death penalty. And I think there were so many opportunities to rehabilitate this man, but instead now we're like, well, we can't do it, we'll just kill him. And I don't know, like, yes, he committed all these crimes, and a lot of people's families are really hurting. But again, I'm not death penalty shoddy. Like, I'm more on the side that people can just hang out in jail. But you know me, I'm not really a death penalty person. So comes to kids. That's
what you mean?
Oh, I feel like every episode when we talk about them, I'm like, no, we can rebuild them. Except when it comes to kids. Actually, he did do some shit with kids. You know what?
Exactly.
Yeah, because I feel like that's what boiled my blood.
He killed two kids. One of the girls was 14 and one was 13, and he showed another little girl his fucking dick as a grown fucking man.
Never mind.
What the hell? Like, what are you doing? So, yeah, the thing is, I do think that people can be rehabilitated. But I think some people can, but I also think some people can't. I seriously think, and he said it himself, and this might just be
himself.
Yeah, he said himself. I don't know if this is the mental illness talking or whatever, but he said that he always was evil. His words. He said he's pure evil.
That sounds like a mental illness.
But I feel like that's a thing though.
No, I feel like not to get all metaphysical and talk about that duality thing, but I feel like there are some people that really do, they fight that fight between good and bad, and like I said, some people lose it, some people got demons in them, as the old people would say, they're fighting demons, and he probably was literally fighting demons, but is it our right to, like, kill him?
Yes.
Like, shit.
You showing your dick to kids. Fuck out of here. She's crazy. I feel like, because here's the thing, when we were talking about, that's what I was saying, I feel like some people can't, when we were talking about, I don't know if you remember the sniper episode, the DC sniper, I don't think, because at one point I think they did sentence that little boy,
I think,
death.
Even though Lee with the
Lee boy,
yeah, they, yep,
yeah, and then they took it back, yeah, and made it light, yep. But as far as him, I think that he just got manipulated.
Same.
He got put in a really bad situation. Yeah, he got brainwashed, he was being molested and raped. things like that is like, okay, no, I don't think that they should give that boy the death penalty. I feel like he really just got into a bad situation. But this motherfucker right here?
Yeah.
Dirt.
Yeah.
Put him in the dirt.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only, I guess, I'm not saying, I think the only thing that makes me a little bit whatever to it is that at 19, he was already showing these tendencies, right? Because there's kids who've been teenagers, right? They've gotten, like, locked up for murder. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there is, like, so much potential there to, like, rehabilitate people. Because I feel like when people say batshit stuff, like, their wife cheated on them, they murdered them at the big old age of 34. Like, I don't have a lot of empathy for that. because, like, that's just a lack of control of emotions like that. But it seems like there was opportunity, because clearly, like, you're really struggling. At 19 years old, if you're trying to burn bodies, like, something has gone terribly wrong. Like, something's gone really, really wrong. And you are. And, like I said, if I ever met a kid like that, I'd be like, for real, like, you're basically headed down the path to probably end up on death row. Mm-hmm. And as sad as that is, but it's just, I don't know, it's weird to see how we just like to scar people, because like at 19 there was so much hope for him. But again, if no one intervenes, obviously he's not gonna fix himself. He's troubled at 19, so you think he's gonna magically fix himself?
Nope.
So again, so I feel like there was an opportunity. It's not, I got people be like, it's not America's problem, but I feel like there was an opportunity to help him, and it's just disappointing to see his life literally come to that, because again, he is a deeply troubled individual, and he will have to like pay for the sins and all that stuff he's committed. But at the same time, I feel like it's just black, because I feel like there was an opportunity at some point for his life to not go down this path.
I'm sure. Yeah. But I mean, it did. So it's, yeah, like, but yeah, I think he was always a pedophile too, because his, I mean, there is no, like, he did grown women, and he murdered grown women. He also murdered children. Mm-hmm. But I think the showing, you know, the sexual stuff, the showing the kids your penis and things like that, clearly shows that he had some type of, sexual perversion. Yeah. Something was going
like
on.
Like I said, it's like, I feel like people really be fighting demons. Like, people really be having, like, that evil, like, inside of them. And I feel like, again, I don't even know if you can, I feel like I talk about it, but I don't know if you can really rehabilitate that shit. Like, I have no idea if you really can, like, get that lust out of somebody to be with children. I don't know if you really can remove it, but I don't know if you can kill them. Like, I don't know if the route is to kill.
But we don't kill child molesters, though. We kill murderers.
And that's very true.
Yeah.
And that's an excellent point, is that we really don't.
Mm-mm.
Is that you can abuse children time and time again, and there is no, I don't think that is something punishable by death.
No. Because when he, you know, they don't even be going to fucking jail half the time. When he that, he got 150 some days in jail. That's a few months.
Kind of, we watched that podcast about the guy who was running. Like what do you call it? Child, like, abuse material.
Oh yeah, Finding Warhead. Yeah. If y'all haven't listened to it, go listen. Real good podcast.
But he's like that was like the largest charge I've heard, because he was like distributing like the trauma videos. I don't know. There's like a proper word for it.
Child sexual abuse videos. You're not supposed to call it child porn.
Yeah, there's like a proper word for it. Yeah. But a lot of people, they don't get, there is like no death penalty for that.
Nope.
Which is really crazy. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that's like justice. Like, that's just as much of a demon as having like the demon to like murder people. Like, that is, if not more, of like a real troubled spirit to like have in you.
Yeah. I mean, hey, he's still there awaiting death. And I saw some videos, one of the victims, I think it was the grandmother, was like, yeah, I'm gonna show up when he goes, because I want to watch it. And I was like, I don't know if I want to watch it, but everybody grieves in their own way.
I said, like, I can't, his grandmother?
No, one of the victims.
Oh, okay.
One of the victims'
grandmothers. It's like, I feel like I get on this podcast and I talk about, like, having all this empathy for people, but I don't know their position, because I don't know if I would still have the, honest to God, I don't think I would, to be really real. I don't think I would have the same level of empathy if that happened in my family.
Nope.
The same way. Like, if someone had taken my niece and then XYZ, I'd probably have a front row seat with popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I feel like I have a picket sign every day. So I feel like, yes, I do talk about all this stuff, but I feel like I can't admit that I don't see nothing wrong in it, because I too probably be sitting up there, just to be real. Like,
I might try to kill you myself, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you know them court videos where they be leaping across the shit?
Yeah.
That would be me.
Yeah, you best, believe it.
I'm a whoop your ass. Yeah. Because I saw this one video. It was a murderer. And he, the dad's daughter was murdered by a man, a serial killer, I think. And he said he smiled at him in the courtroom. He leapt across that fucking table. Yeah. It was a whole commotion. I'm like, nah, because for real though, like.
It's valid.
The
it's
fuck?
It's literally valid. Yeah. It's valid. Yeah.
They're wild. But yeah.
Yeah, because I know 1,000% if someone like murders someone in my family, I wouldn't be like, well, let's rehabilitate them. Yeah, like, I definitely wouldn't. So,
and then grinned at you in courtroom, yeah, look you in your face and laughed in your face.
I know all my hullabaloo would go out of the window, so I'm going to be real. But yeah.
You'd be right to whoop that ass.
They wouldn't have made it to court.
Yeah, it's true. But like you said, some people fight demons. Because I remember even Jeffrey Dahmer, when he was like, you know Jeffrey Dahmer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was like, I think he said he killed one person like a long, long, long time ago. They say he was fighting a demon and he felt guilty. Like he felt remorse, I guess, mm-hmm. in his twisted brain. And then he didn't do it for like years. Like he's like fighting. Like I can't do this. And then he's like, when I fell back into it, I just couldn't stop. And then I just kept. And it killed like 35 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. People be fighting demons. But I don't know. He gonna get put to death. But that's all I have to say about him. Isn't that crazy though? How far. Like how many charges mm-hmm. he was. And how long he was allowed to exist in society.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And
without any type of. Like you said, rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. Like. When you paroled him, you couldn't have made it a requirement that he had therapy or. Anything like that?
Nothing. Yeah, it's so weird because like even today, like I see reports ever so often where they're like, "Oh, they think there's like a serial killer in Baltimore or like New York or Pennsylvania." Like they have like suspicions because there's a lot of murders that have similar, you know, little pieces to them. And I'm like, the fact that in 2022 you can still kind of operate in that way, I'm always shocked. I'm always like, "Oh, it was the 80s? There's less surveillance." But it's crazy. I mean. So, bro, be safe out there.
Yeah,
but,
niggas be serial killing still in 2022. Well, that's it. I hope that didn't make y'all too down.
It's pretty dark.
Yeah, it was dark. But hey, let us know what you think. As usual, we're cognacconspiracies@gmail.com. Cognacconspiracies on Instagram. Thank you for everybody who sends the DMs and the suggestions and things like that. As you know, we do actually take suggestions. So keep sending them. I like them. So we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.